This is Growing Native, and I'm Petey Mosquito. It's amazing how summer rains can change the look of the land, and all across southern Arizona and northern Sonora, all across the borderlands, folks are exclaiming about greenness, about lushness, and using words like jungle or Ireland to describe the land where they live, some even excitingly affecting a brogue. While shouting about green slopes. Pretty sweet to hear residents of the borderlands trying out Irish accents. Does this happen every year during the monsoon? No, because every year is a little different. But when wetness covers the land and green ensues, exclamations, wild gestures, and silly accents abound. At home, near the banks of the Ojolote, we got rain and grasses and forbs shot from the former brown earth. Stuff you left out on the ground, you know, a post, a rake, a shovel, will disappear in the new vegetation, only to be found while mowing. Your mower hits something clunky and noisy. Oh, that's where that shovel is. And you pick it up and you lean it against something like the barn wall or an old truck. And a rain or two later, it has become a trellis for native morning glory vines. Those morning glory vines can make a junk pile look like a green mound. Oh, yeah. Morning glory vines are very good at making junk look good until, of course, they start to dry out as the rainy season ends and a warm, dry fall takes over. And it will. But isn't it something how our personal landscapes, our gardens, take off when the rainy season arrives? All that coaxing along of your vegetable garden in April, May, June, you know, sure, the plants grow, but when the humidity arrives and the monsoon comes, oh yeah, look out. And out in Cochise County, home gardens and home orchards kicked in late summer, and it's the season of abundance. Peaches and apples, tomatoes, chilies, cucumbers, squash, melons, and they all leave our home in bags to neighbors or vice versa. And I'll arrive home with a box of peaches or a neighbor's extra tomatoes. I mean, we have tomatoes, but can I turn down extra tomatoes? No way. And so the kitchen counters and back porches are strewn with fruits and vegetables, and they are in various stages of ripeness, doneness, unless something is done quickly, like eating 10 tomatoes at one sitting. Not a pretty sight, but as those fruits and vegetables start to get away from you, clouds of small flies hover over, around, and among them. Fruit flies, or more accurately, small fruit flies, as opposed to true fruit flies, which are bigger. But we can be most accurate with Drosophila melanogaster. Small clouds of Drosophila descend on overripe fruit to eat and mate and lay eggs and quickly start another generation. It's that, you know, that quick generation turnaround that have made fruit flies one of the most amazing laboratory critters of all times. They've been around for over 100 years for studying genetics. My father loved to tell the story of fruit flies and a genetics class he took in a small liberal arts college in our hometown in Kentucky. I know you're thinking the word genetics and the state of Kentucky seem at odds. A little incongruous there. Anyway, his fruit flies got loose, and he was briefly famous. But listen, because of their quick life, the breeding, the laying eggs, the hatching, they make great laboratory critters, and it's a little more complicated than that. You know, genes, chromosomes, all that thing. Probably the reason I did poorly in my college genetic course, but at least I didn't let my Drosophila get out. Drosophila means dros, do, phyla, loves, melanogaster, melon, black, gaster, tummy. So now you know that the swarms of tiny flies hovering in your kitchen are do-loving black tummy flies. Did I mention they have red eyes? So they can be do-loving red-eyed black tummy flies. So here's the summer, fruit and vegetable abundance and swarms of Drosophila melanogaster. Hey, I'm Petey Mosquito, and this has been Growing Native.